ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. In Panchadashi, we are seeing this chapter on Ishvara, Jiva, Srishti. We are going to understand Srishtihi, the very expression Srishtihi comes, it involves duality. Prapanchaha, creation, when you say, it involves duality. Experiencer, experienced. Knower, known, duality is involved in creation. So we have Ishvara Srishtadvaitam and Jiva Srishtadvaitam. There is a world of duality create, which is creation of the Lord. There is a world of duality creation of the individual Jiva. We need to understand both to resolve the one in the other. When you understand both separately, we can resolve the Jiva Srishtadvaitam, the world of duality, which is Jiva's creation, can be resolved cognitively in Ishvara's world of creation. And then we can resolve the very creation itself finally. We can say there is no creation at all. And we can say what is only Brahma. We can resolve Ishvara's status. We can resolve the Ishvara's creation in absolute reality, wherein we resolve the very duality itself in finally in understanding the non-duality of the reality. So the aim of the study is to resolve the very duality in the wake of knowledge of the non-dual reality. But to resolve the very duality, the world of duality, which seems to be real, which is said to be Ishvara's creation itself in to resolve it in the wake of knowledge of the non-duality of the reality, first of all, we need to resolve the duality, world of duality, which is Jiva's creation in Ishvara's creation. So Jiva's Srishti has to be resolved in Ishvara's Srishti. Then Ishvara's Srishti also has to be resolved in the wake of knowledge of absolute reality, which is one, secondless and non-dual. That is where our freedom is, or moksha is. But when we understand Ishvara's creation, we also understand the order. Understanding of Ishvara's creation is actually understanding of the order. And this we've been repeating from the beginning, that whenever creation is discussed, is not for establishing the creation, but to arrive at the fact that there is no creation. And here, Vidyaranya Swami discusses the Ishvara's creation, and quoting from different Upanishads, how Ishvara Srishti is presented in all the Upanishads. And you should not forget the fact that Ishvara Srishti, analysis of Ishvara Srishti is only used only as a methodology, as a method of unfoldment of the reality. But there again, because of our Ajnanam, ignorance, we have our own projection of we have our own perception of the Ishvara's Krishti. If we see and perceive the Ishvara's creation as it is, and Ishvara's creation is so beautiful, wonderful, it is Nandana Vanam. It's a garden of joy. It's a place of joy only. But unfortunately, we are not able to see things as they are. We have our own value addition to things or reduction to things. This reduction of values of objects we perceive, an addition of value to the objects we perceive. This addition and reduction in our perception, the value added to the world, the value reduced from the world, actually it's in our perception, which is because of the error in perception, and which results in actually our pain, experience of our pain. Anyway, therefore here Vidyaranya Swami is discussing the creation. Before he takes us to the Jiva Srishtihi, he's still presenting the Ishvara Srishtihi only. And the last class we saw, the 16th verse, he discusses Srishti as given in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And from Saptanna Brahmanam. And the sevenfold creations are discussed here. And we saw in the 16th verse, let me read the 16th verse again.
Vrihyadikam darsha purnamasau kshiram tatha manaha vak pranas cheti saptatvam anna namavagam yatam.
So in the 15th mantra, the 15th verse of this chapter, we saw Vidyaranya Swami presents a mantra from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And there he talks about, you know, Martyanam Ekam, Devanne Dve, Pashvanam Chaturthakam, Anyatritayam Atmartham, Annanam Viryojanam. He literally presents the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad's mantra in a verse form here. The first type of annam is for the human beings in this world of mortals. Bhulokaha. Martyalokaha means bhulokaha, the world of human beings. And there is a food for annam for living beings of this world. Human beings and the living beings of this world. Then devanne dve. There are two types of food for the devas. That is what devanne dve, two types of food for devas. And pashuvannam chaturthakam. And the fourth type of food is what? For the animals. Pashuhu means animal, I told you. Anyatritayam. So now already covered what now? So one martyannam, two devannam, and the fourth pashuvannam, four. And the three more, two more, we have to understand. Anyatritayam, so 4 + 3 = 7. Anyatritayam, and three types of annam are for the, again, jivas, for their, not external experience, but for the direct experience, not for experiencing through the sense objects, but for experiencing directly, for thought perception, for sakshi pratyaksha, for our own personal experience. For example, when you taste the food, you eat the food through your tongue. Through the tongue, you taste the food, experience the food. You have the pleasure of experiencing, enjoying the bitterness of the food or the sweetness of the food through your tongue. So there's available objects experienced through sense organs are called sensory objects. There also, all sensory objects are annam only. Because we experience we experience objects through our sense organs. They enter into the mind through the sense objects. This, through the ears, through the nose, through the eyes, they enter. Apart from those external objects experienced through the sense organs, we also have objects experienced directly, like pain, pleasure, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear. Those emotions which are experienced do not need sense organs, but they're directly experienced because they obtain in the form of thoughts. The non-sensory objects of enjoyment and the sensory objects of enjoyment. The non-sensory objects of enjoyment are three types. And they are for all jivas. So there are three types. Like this, we have seven types of objects of experience. So annam here is bhogya prapanchaha. The world of objects of experience. The world of objects of experience is called what? Bhogya prapanchaha is meant by the word annam in this context. So seven types of food. Totally, we understand in general. Now we are going to see in detail from next verse. So there also we saw 16th verse also. Vrihyadikam darshapurna masau kshiram tatha manaha vak pranaha cha iti saptatvam annanam avagamyatam. So what are those? The first verse, the previous verse, he mentioned the food, seven types of objects of experience, implied by the word, meant by the word annam. Now in the 16th verse, he said, if we combine both the verses, 15th and the 16th, we'll get a complete meaning. So martya annam is what? The food of all the living beings of this world. This bhuloka is world of mortals. That is vrihyadikam. Vrihi means paddy. I told you all, no? Vrihi means paddy. So paddy, etc., the grains or the food for the vegetarian food is for all the living beings of this world, world of mortals. The darshapurna masa means the two types of food, two types of oblations, food offered to devatas in form of oblations into the fire through the performance of fire ritual and performed on new moon and full moon days. We call darshapurna masa, darshapurna masau, because dual. One ritual, the food offered to devatas through the performance of ritual on new moon day, and the food offered to devatas in of oblations through the performance of ritual on full moon day. So darshapurna masau. Then we have kshiram. Now kshiram, milk. Okay, what is the milk for? Milk is for all the living beings. All the living beings had to, when they're born, survive, especially living beings, mammals, when you say, all living beings survive in the very beginning only by mother's milk. That's why kshiram. Milk is the basic food for all the living beings first to survive in the world. Then they eat everything. Then manaha. Okay, manaha. Oh, manaha here is the subtlest of the subtle manifestations, creations. It's a sukshma shariram. Mind stands for the sukshma shariram. The mind also is, you know, we say mind is instrument of knowledge, but this mind, which is an instrument of knowledge, it's antahkaranam, itself is an object of experience. Mind also, please remember, we are analyzing, we are understanding the objects of experience. All the objects of experience constitute the world of objects of experience. Bhogya prapanchaha. The word annam actually stands for bhogya prapancha. What are all we are experiencing? What are all the objects we are experiencing here? We understood generally food. First we saw the food of living beings. Then food offered to devatas. then we saw generally milk for all living beings. Now we say mind. Mind also is object of experience. Here, mind also is one of the bhogya vastus. This is a different way of analyzing, okay? Mind also is one of the bhogya vastus, objects of experience. Okay? And we have other aspects of the subtle body. No, vak pranaha manaha. See that vak pranaha manaha. We have vak pranaha cha manaha, vak pranaha cha iti. Manaha, vak pranaha cha iti. So vak speech, then pranaha are physiological functions. So all of them are what now? Objects of experience. Pranaha is also object of experience. Speech is also object of experience. Mind is also object of experience. So pranaha, manaha, vak, they are not perceived through sense organs, but they're the objects of experience, non-sensory objects of experience. So those three. Totally we have 7. What are the tritayam? Manaha, vak, pranaha. So what is matyanam? Martyanam, vrihi, adikam. What are devane? Dvevane? Darshapurna, masau. Darshapurna, masau are the food for devas. Then kshiram for all the living beings in general. All the mammals in general. Then vak pranas, vak prana, manaha, vak pranaha, three objects of experience for all the jivas. They are non-sensory objects of experience. Like this, if we connect the previous verse and the 15th and the 16th verse, we get to know that how this, what are the saptanam, what the object of the objects of world of objects of experience. We had to be very patient here to understand Ishvara Srishti described in Brihadaranyakam in this verse. Okay. Now, saptatvam annanam avagamyatam. We got now totally Vrihyadikam, Darshapurnamasa 2, 3, Kshiram 4, Manaha Vak Pranaha 7, totally 7. Saptatvam Annanam Avagamyatam. Say, may this the 7 types of objects of experience which constitute the world of objects be understood. That's the meaning. Avagamyatam, may it be understood. So the entire cosmos is the object of experience, bhogya prapanchaha, for the all the individual beings here of different groups, different segments. So these 7-fold objects of experience are said to be 7 types of food. 7-fold objects of experience are said to be 7 types of food. Or 7-fold experience. No. Our subtle body, how does our sukshma shariram, subtle body enjoy its existence? If you know, our sukshma shariram, our subtle body, in fact, which consists of mind. Mind means the antahkaranam as a whole, involving ahankaraha, chittam, manaha, buddhihi. Okay, antahkaranam, panchakarmendriyani, panchajnanendriyani, panchapranaha, totally the 16 aspects which constitute this in Sukshma Shariram. It exists. Why? How does it exist? Purely because of our the Sukrutam and Dushkrutam. The Sukrutam, the Punyam we have earned as a result of our previous actions. The Papam we have earned as a result of our Papa Karma and the wrong actions. That Punya Papam alone, Punya Papam, Sukrutam, Dushkrutam, which we have earned as a result of our own knowingly or unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally done, previously done right and wrong actions. Now, because of this Punya Papam alone, our subtle body survives, exists. So, whenever Pralayam takes place, whenever Mahapralayaha takes place, when everything has to resolve, whenever Mahapralayam takes place, everything resolves. Everything has to resolve. Then what happens that time? This mind, we have to understand the causal body resolves. Causal body also resolves. Resolves mean what? It doesn't get destroyed, but causal body continues to survive, continues to exist. Everything resolves. The Sula Prapanchaha resolves. The world of objects of experience resolve. Mind resolves. Thoughts resolve. Emotions resolve. Ankara resolves. Manaha resolves. Memory resolves. Buddhi resolves. Pains and pleasures resolve. Experiences resolve. Everything resolves whenever Pralayam takes place. So, Sukshma Prapancha resolves, Stula Prapancha resolves. Sukshma Shariram resolves, Stula Shariram resolves. But what continues to be there is Karana Shariram. What is Karana Shariram? Avidya. Avidya, Ajnanam continues to be there when everything resolves. Resolves means what? It's not available for experience. Whenever I say the universe resolves means universe is not cognitively when you resolve, you are negating it as mithya. When in Pralayam takes place, like in sleep, in deep sleep state, everything resolves means what is, it means the world is not available for experience anymore. In deep sleep state, every day when you fall asleep, in deep sleep state, the Bahya Prapanchaha, the external universe resolves. Your dream universe resolves. Your own body, mind, sense complex resolves. Means, in sleep, everything resolves. Means, nothing is available for experience. Why? Because the experiencer himself loses the status of being the experiencer. The experiencer is without the status of being the experiencer. Therefore, there's no duality there. There's a non-dual experience. Whenever there's non-dual experience, there's no experiencer experienced duality. That's what is called everything remaining resolved. But what does not resolve there, what continues to be there is ajnanam, karana shariram. So you can understand your own deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, when everything resolves, what continues to be there is ajnanam. Similarly, in Pralayam also, when Pralayam takes place also, when everything resolves, still causal body, karana shariram, what is karana shariram? Avidya continues to exist. If you say karana shariram continues to exist, continues to remain, don't look for karana shariram. Avidya continues to be there. Okay, therefore the Karana Shariram continues to exist. Then what happens? Again, the Sukshma Shariram, the subtle body, and Sthula Shariram, the gross body, have to come into existence. So for an individual to assume again subtle body and a gross body, to again to be born in the world, to experience, he needs boga sadhanani, boga ayatanam. Again, the person needs subtle body and the gross body to go through punya papa. Therefore, it is made very clear. It is one's own punya papams one has earned in one's previous lives. Paradha karma phalam alone determines the type of physical body, the type of gross subtle body, and the quality. You know, the type of physical body, subtle body that we assume is determined by what? The karma we have. What type of karma we have alone determines our sarirams, which body we should be blessed with. Human body or an animal body or a frog body or a fish body, bird's body, what body we should be, that our karma determines. Depending upon the type of karma we have determines our shariram. But the sukshma sthula sharirams, even though they're determined by the quality of karma phalam we have, the gross body is available for experience only for one given janma. The next janma, the gross body will be different. It can be same old human body, whatever it is, but every time you get the human physical body, that is only for one janma. When that janma is over, that birth is over, that given span of life is over, the part of the karma comes to an end, the gross body will get disintegrated. We have to assume another new gross body. So gross bodies are every janma after janma, we get new gross physical bodies. But subtle body, we don't get new subtle body. The same subtle body which resolves come back. The gross body alone we get new. So new gross body, old subtle body. This is the difference. Okay. Same old sukshma shariram continues to be there, comes back. It only needs a new dress, like a new dress. That's why in Bhagavad Gita we have this verse, Vasamsi Jirnani Yatha Vihaya Navani Grinnati Naroparani Tatha Sharirani Vihaya Jirnani Anyani Sayyati Navani Dehi. This is how we change our clothes. So the Sthula Shariram is changed. Throw away the old Shariram, take the new fresh Shariram. But Sukshma Shariram is not thrown away. Sukshma shariram comes back. The same old subtle body comes back. That's why we can talk about the refinement, mental refinement. Every janma it comes, it grows, it becomes more mature, it becomes more and more refined. So in many janmas, it becomes more and more and more refined. At one janma, it becomes adequately refined. Then it attains the jnanam. It becomes qualified for jnanam. Then attainment of jnanam is also possible. Bahunam janmanam ante. At many janmas, jnanavan mam, one attains jnanam. Because every janma there is refinement. Mental refinement takes place. The same mind comes. But the physical body is different. Anyway, so what I want to say here, when pralayam takes place, the everything resolves, karna shariram continues to survive. Then the type of the body that is going to be assumed is determined by our punya papams we have in our account. So sthula shariram is changed, sukshma shariram continues to be the same. Okay. So, however long the creation is going to be, after Srishtihi, until the Mahapralaya takes place, in between Srishti and Pralayam, how many ever times an individual is born again and again and again and again and again, the same Sukshma Shariram continues to be there. Sthula Shariram alone is changed. The gross body is changed, subtle body continues to be the same. So, the individual, every individual as a jiva, enjoying the jiva status, has one's own mind, experiences one's own mind, and with the help of the mind, through that mind, an individual jiva also experiences the external world of objects. The individual experiences, objectifies one's own mind, and through that mind, which itself is an object of experience, he experiences the external world of objects also. If we have two, mind itself is object of experience, bhogya vastu, then through the bhogya vastu mind, there's bhogya prapanchaha is also experienced. That's why we have to understand here, mind itself, mind is also here given as one of the sevenfold objects of experience. Okay, now we'll go to the next verse. Ishena yadyapyetani. Now you have to remember, these sevenfold objects of experience constitute the world of objects of experience. Bhogya prapanchaha consists of sevenfold objects of experience. Mind is one of them. And through that mind, the individual jiva experiences the rest of the objects of experience. Okay, what's next verse now? Ishena yadyapyetani. Ishena yadyapyetani nirmitani swarupataha. Nirmitani swarupataha tathapi jnana karmabhyam. Tathapi jnana karmabhyam jivo karshi tadannatam. Tathapi jnana karmabhyam jivo kashi tadannatam. Ishena yadyapyetani nirmitani swarupataha tathapi jnana karmabhyam jivo kashi tadannatam. Okay, now yetani nirmitani. Look at these words now. Yetani saptannani nirmitani. The sevenfold objects of experience meant by the word annam, saptannam, which constitute the object, world of object of experience. You know, the sevenfold annani nirmitani. Yetani nirmitani. Nirmitani literally means constructed. You can say established, created. Nirmitam is a past passive participle, which means constructed, established, founded. Amikkappattad. We can say that. So, yetani saptannani nirmitani. The sevenfold objects of experience, the world of experience, sevenfold have been created. By whom? Ishena, by the Lord. Ishena, etani, saptannani, nirmitani. The sevenfold of experience have been created by the Lord. Okay. Yadyapi. See, yadyapi means what? Even though. Yadi, if, api, also. You put together, even though. Yadi means if. Api means also. When you put them together, it means even though. Yadyapi. Yadi plus api, yadyapi. I told you, yadi is also indeclinable word. Api is also indeclinable word. Avyayam. Avyaya padam. Separately, they mean what? If also. When put together, you get one expression, yadyapi. Yadi plus api, yadyapi. Yadyapi means what? Even though. Yadyapi, ishene etani nirmitani. Even though they have been created by the Lord, how? Swarupataha. By his very presence, by his very nature. When you say, Bhagavan has created this whole world of objects of experience, how has he Bhagavan created? Not by doing an action, not by jumping, not by, when we establish something, when we create something, we do a lot of activities. We plan, we think, we strain, we struggle, we slog. We do so much to do even little thing. But the whole jagat of sevenfold objects of experience, Bhagavan created effortlessly just by his presence, by his very nature. Swarupataha, just by his mere presence, just by his very nature, by his nature of illumining, by his nature of knowing, by his own intrinsic essential nature of knowing and illumining, just by mere presence, without any effort, without doing any action, all these seven, this world of objects of experience has been created by the Lord. Okay. Now, jnana karma bhyam, jivaha, jnana karma bhyam, jivaha, akarshit, jivaha, akarshit, tad annatam, jnana karma bhyam, jivaha akarshit tad annatam. Now let me tell you, akarshit. Jivaha attracted. Jajiva made. Jivaha akarshit. What? Annatam, tad annatam. So jiva attracted, has taken what? The status of annatam akarshit. Jiva, even though Isha created the whole your subject of experience, jiva lends the status of being an object only to a given portion of Ishvara's creation. Okay, jivaha tadannatam akarshit means jiva lends the status of being an object only to a given portion of Ishvara's creation. Even though the entire universe has been created by the Lord, the jiva lends the object status, the status of being an object of experience, only to a given portion of Ishvara's creation. Only to a given portion, a given segment of Ishvara's creation. Which means the jiva is incapable of seeing the entire creation as Ishvara's creation. Jiva is capable of seeing only a portion of Ishvara's creation as object of experience. Why? Why is it? The reason is given, Jnana Karma Bhyam. Jnana Karma Bhyam. The, please be careful. In the second line, the word Jnana means meditation. Karma means action. So Jiva is able to give only to a small segment, only to a small portion of Ishvara's creation, a status of being object of experience, because of Jiva's, karma and meditation. Jnana Karma Bhyam. Because of Jiva's own karma and own meditation. It means what? One's own karma phalam. As a result of one's own punya papa phalam, one has earned through one's karma, meditation, etc. The Jiva is capable of experiencing only a portion of Ishvara's creation. He is able to convert only a given segment of Ishvara's creation as object of experience. Tathapi, that's why tathapi. Tathapi, even then, still. So what is the meaning of this whole verse now? Even though this entire world of objects of experience has been created by the Lord, Jiva is able to experience only a portion of Ishvara's creation as object of experience because of the punya papams he has earned as a result of his own karma, meditation, etc. That is the meaning. That is why even though Ishvara has created, but still he is not able to experience the entire world of object of experience as object of experience. His world of experience, he can experience is only very limited portion of Ishvara's creation. And so how many human beings do we know? How many relatives we have? How many friends we have? How many places in the world we know, in spite of all the media. Now imagine, without WhatsApp, without these online programs, without anything also, how much do you think our knowledge would have been? How much do we know? How many things are happening worldwide? How much do we know? So, our world, Swamiji always used to say, everyone has one's own 10 significant people in one's life. You create hell and heaven out of love. You only association with the very few people. Swamiji used to say this very beautifully. See, lot of things, I mean Swamiji sometimes. Now, how many people do we know in the world? Of the people whom we know, how many people do we associate with? How many people we have to live with all the time? Very few. Especially living in countries like this, we hardly have people, relatives. I think in India we have a lot of social, we can go, even our there people are very busy nowadays. How much we have time? No time. Get up in the morning, rush, come back, cook, eat, watch and sleep, and then worry about children. There's no time for us to do anything. The whole life is now centered on what? Our family. My husband, my children, my wife, my children and my relatives. And occasionally we meet friends and some parties. That's all. Even then, in relationships, we have misunderstanding, we have frictions, we have pain, and we complain, we feel jealousy, or we hatred, or we feel hurt, we feel offended, or we hurt others. So many things happen. It's all within this small, we don't know the whole world. So, why the world of experience, please understand very carefully. The world of experience, the world of objects of experience that an individual human being experiences is not the whole world. Only a given small segment of world of objects we experience, jivas experience. Why? Because of our own punya papams we have earned through our karmas, physical, mental activities. So that's why jnana karma bhyam means what? By our own, the meditative life we lived, or karmas we did, the rituals we performed, or the mandala activities we performed, in all our karmas we have performed in the previous lives, we have earned punya papam, and because of that punya papam, every individual is capable of enjoying only a given segment of world of objects created by the Lord. So who created all of us now? We're all Ishvara's creation. But how many of us know each other? In a sense, only we know, isn't it? It's all punya. That is why please understand, even through online, to come in contact with. Now we are meeting here. All of us are meeting here. All of us know each other. All of us have some connection, some relationship. And this can result in pain or pleasure, whatever it is. That explains only small group of people. Small world. Every individual has one's own tiny world of people. Our own relatives. When you have a wedding in your house, and you have so many people coming to your house and friends and relatives, maximum 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000. You're a politician, you have all voters, vote bank. So how big? That's all. Not a huge whole world you don't have. Some congress is happening somewhere in America or here in London, Australia. How many members go there? So whichever field we are associated with, still our world of association is very small. Every individual's world of association, world of objects we associate with is a very small one. That is what is mentioned in this world. We do not come in contact with, we do not associate ourselves with the whole world. All our life, in the tiny little mind we have, Who fill your mind? Who are the people who come and, some of you say, they travel along with you without paying tickets. When you travel, you buy a ticket and you travel from place to place. There are some people sit in your mind, they travel with you without paying tickets, getting tickets. And how many people are traveling with you? Whom you are thinking of all the time? Who you, are there a hurt feeling or a happy feeling or pleasant feeling? Like that. So the world of association, the world we associate with is a tiny little portion of Bhagavan's creation. Our world is very small world, but still that looks as though like a huge world. It grabs our mind totally. We lose ourselves in that world of tiny little world of Bhagavan's huge creation, tiny little portion of Bhagavan's huge, incomprehensibly vast creation, of innumerable countless beings and objects, a tiny little portion, tiny little segment of the world alone becomes our world of experience. Why? What determines that? Our own punya papam. This is the man who comes in your life as husband. You live for 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And this is the woman who comes in your life as a wife. These are the children that come in your life whom you have to carry, think about always, worry about or happy, feel happy about. And these are the children. And these are the, and there through them, the daughters-in-law, sons-in-law, grandchildren, etc. And this is the husband through whom you come in, a special sister-in-law and brother-in-law. And this is the wife through whom you come in contact with your other relatives. Like that, the world we associate with, and friends, the job you choose to do, the colleagues you relate to, the friends and neighbor, your neighbors. See, you must have special punyam to have some special neighbors. Sometimes you have, they become head pain. No? And they're very good people also. You have very good neighbors, you have very good punyam. Now, why I'm telling you, I was in East London. There was an, I don't know, for 15 years I know one family, very nice people. I already love to have me. I went there. The neighbor's house, a lot, cherry tree. Lots of cherries. The tree, the branch was coming this side. So we are enthusiastic that Amma went and she plucked a lot of, I also went behind, stood behind her and picked one or two. And she brought lots, big basket full of cherries. The next day morning, that fellow cut off the whole tree. Whole the branches. Why? He couldn't stand that neighbors are plucking his cherries. Or falling down wastingly. What am I saying? Some people are like that. Now what I want to say, even to have neighbors, they're all our objects, our world of Bhogya Prapancha. Okay? Our Bhogya Prapancha. So whom we associate with, whom we live with, whom we have to put up with, whom we have to tolerate with, whom we have to enjoy, whom that Bhagavan see here, it is said, that world is only a very small, tiny segment of Ishvara's vast creation. Why? Because of karma. Our own punya papams have earned through our karma. That is what is the lesson of this verse. So, yadyapi ishena swarupataha nirmitani etani tathapi jnana karma bhyam jivaha tad annatam akarshit. Jiva is capable of enjoying only a very small segment of the creation, Bhagavan's creation. Even though Bhagavan has created all of them. Okay, see how beautifully he's developing. To talk about his Jiva Srishti, he's very gradually he's preparing us. How, no, what we create, no, for that. Okay. Ishakaryam jiva bhogyam. Ishakaryam jiva bhogyam. Jagadvabhyam samanvitam. Jagadvabhyam samanvitam. Dvabhyam samanvitam. Ishakaryam jiva bhogyam jagad dvabhyam samanvitam pitrujanya bhartrubhogya yathayoshittatheshyatam. Okay. See here. Ishakaryam jiva bhogyam. Ishakaryam jiva bhogyam. Iti jagat dvabhyam samanvitam. So Ishakaryam, Isha means the Lord. The Isha Kari means what? The entire universe, including time and space, the entire world of objects, including time and space, is actually Ishvara's creation. Ishvara's universe. The entire universe is Ishvara's creation. Isha Karyam. But jiva bhogyam means what? Jiva bhogyam means jivena bhogyam. So ishena karyam jagat, jivena bhogyam jagat. That the universe, which is creation of the Lord, and there jiva bhogyam, the universe of the world of objects of experience, the world, an object of experience of the jiva. Jiva Bhogyam means what? Jiva Bhogya means the object of experience. So the world of objects, Ishvara's creation is an object of experience for the Jiva. The world of creation, the world created by Ishvara, the entire universe of Ishvara's creation is meant for Jiva's enjoyment. Jiva Bhogya. The entire universe, which is Ishvara's creation, is meant for Jiva's enjoyment and experience. Isha Karyam is a Jiva Bhogyam. But this object of experience, Jiva, is also what becomes Hetu for Sukham and Dukkham. Hetu for Sukham and Dukkham. It becomes the object of experience for a Jiva, becomes Nimittam, instrumental for experiencing Sukham and Dukkham. So the Ishvara's creation, the world of objects, which is in a world of objects of experience for a Jiva, becomes instrumental for experiencing pain and pleasure, Sukham and Dukkham. So the world is not directly responsible for pain and pleasure. World is not a source of the world of objects, which is meant for enjoyment of Jiva, which is created by Ishvara, is not a source of happiness. Not a source of happiness, nor is it source of pain. But it is instrumental nimittam for experiencing pleasure and pain. Sukha dukkha anubhava hetuhu. People say cause, it's not actually the cause, it becomes instrumental. Okay. Without the jagat, if there's no universe at all created for an individual, if you do not experience these objects of experience, even though the small segment of creation alone we are experiencing, even that small segment of experience, objects, small segment of Ishvara's creation, which we experience, becomes instrumental for us to go through, for us to experience pairs of opposites. Okay? In this whole universe, a small portion of world alone becomes our object of experience, Bhogya Vastu, Bhogya Prapancha. And our small Bhogya Prapancha becomes what now? Nimittam, instrumental for us to go through pairs of opposites, pain and pleasures. That's what is said here. Isha Karyam Jiva Bhogyam. This Jagat Dvabhyam Samanvitam. Dvabhyam Samanvitam means what? This Jagat Samanvitam. This universe Samanvitam. Jagat Samanvitam means universe is endowed with. Ended with what? Dvabhyam. It's endowed with both statuses. It has both status. What is the status now? This universe has the status of being created by the Lord, and this universe has the status of being an object of experience for the Jiva. The universe enjoys the status of having been created by Ishvara, and the universe has the status of being an object of experience for Jiva. It enjoys both the statuses. Status of having been created by Ishvara, the status of being an object of experience for a Jiva. Dvabhyam Samanvitam. Okay. And here, and this small segment of universe also becomes inimittam, instrumental for Jiva to experience, go through, suffer, enjoy, pairs of opposites. If we do not come in contact with this world, the small segment of world, we cannot go through pain or pleasure. What is example? Whenever you fall asleep, in sleep, the world disappears for you. You are not in association with your, that small segment of your own tiny little world of your own dearest people, your own dearest situations. When you're knocked off in sleep, your tiny little dearest world disappears. My child, my husband, my wife, my parents, my relatives, my friends, my office, my work, my bank balance, my money, my journeys, my travels, my relatives' marriages, everything disappears for a few hours. Then what happens? No sukham, no dukkham. In sleep, there's no sukham, no dukkham. Why? The tiny little world disappears. Again, tiny little world comes, everything comes. That's why this small segment of Ishvara's creation, which becomes your huge world for an individual, becomes nimittam for you to go through pairs of opposites. Okay. Now here, in second line, so Isha Karyam Jiva Bhogyam Jagat Dwabhyam Samanvitam. This world has these two statuses of being object of experience for a Jiva, has a status of being created by Ishvara. And this world, that is Nimittam, for us to go through pairs of opposites. Let us finish the first line. The second line, look at this. Pitu Janya Bhartru Bhogya Yatha Yoshitta Teshatam. Now, so Vidyaranya Swami here wants to make us understand. He gives an example. Now, how this world is for us? Now, he says, Pitru Janya Bhartru Bhogya Yatha Yoshit Tatha Ishyatam. This world is like this, like what he says. First he gives the example. Yoshit. Yoshit. See, Yoshit, Yoshita actually means a woman. No, Mahila, Stri, Lalana, so many words you have learned. But Yoshit you wouldn't have learned. Yoshit means a woman. You can say a woman, or you can say even a young girl, Kumari. So Yoshit, a woman. Pitru Janya. Pitru here means Mata Pitarau. The word Pitru is a Rikaranta Pullinga Shabdaha Pitru. It stands for both parents. Mata Pitarau, mother and father. Janya means through whom she came into, our daughter comes into existence. So woman, the daughter who comes into existence, who is born through parents. So Pitru Janya Yoshit. So a girl, a woman, first who is a daughter for her parents. Pitru Janya, daughter for her parents. The same girl becomes what now? We can say Bhartru Bhogya. Bhartru Bhogya. Same girl becomes an Apno Pitru Janya and Pitru Bhogya also she becomes. And Bhartru Bhogya, who becomes later on wife for a husband. Bhartru Bhogya. And this woman the girl, who is first a daughter for her parents, later becomes wife for the husband also, can be both object of pain and pleasure for parents as a daughter. She can be an object of pain and pleasure for the husband also. As she is growing up as a young girl, she is a joy for the parents. And if she becomes disobedient in India, okay, an Indian girl, I don't know other people have any pain. In India, the girl doesn't listen to the parents. My God, finished. The parents had to go through hell. She has to marry the man who they choose. She has to accept and she has to understand. Otherwise, if she likes to marry somebody whom they don't like, and so intercaste, intercultural, finished. Some parents will die. They die in the sense what? They go through such hell of problems. So what I'm saying, the same daughter, if she listens to the parents, she studies well, she gets a good job, settle down in well, she lives with this, she's a sensible person and she's a joy for them. She looks after them, she's mature, then she's a joy for parents. The same girl is not living properly, culturally she's not adjusting, then she becomes a pain also. The same daughter who is a joy as she's growing up as a child can be an object of pain, an object of pleasure for parents. And the same woman later on who becomes a wife for a husband also can be an object of pleasure. If compatibility is there, she becomes an object of pleasure. If you need not, if compatibility is not there, she becomes an object of pain also. What I'm saying, one person can be an object of nimittam, instrumental for parents or husband. No, she can be, a woman can be an object of nimittam, instrumental for going through suffering, pain and pleasure for parents, first initially, later on for her husband. She is not responsible for the pain and pleasure, but she becomes nimittam. The daughter becomes nimittam. Nimittam means what? Instrumental for parents to go through. Know why? Vidyanam is very careful. He has chosen the daughter more than son. Of course, son we love. All Indian mothers and fathers love their sons. And they'll give all the assets to the sons. Now, they may, even though they have some problem with the daughter, they love sons. But the daughter, they worry about so much. The son, that is a man, boy. See, it's all typical Indian psychology. The daughter, they worry about a lot. They want to settle the daughter. Son, my boy, you know, he's okay, my son. But my daughter, she should be married to a good family and good boy, and she settled down him happily, she must have children. They worried about who must be the mother-in-law, who must be the father-in-law, who must be sister-in-law, they worry too much in Indian community, in Indian mentality is like that. That's why Vidyanand Swami has taken a girl, not about a boy. Why not a boy? Boy also has problems in life. But he mainly has very sensitive, no? We are very subtle. We parents worry more about the daughters. Of course, they worry about sons also, but about daughters also. What I'm saying is typically, that's why he says, Yoshit, Pitru Janya. Because Pitru Bhogya. Then Bhartru Bhogya also. This woman initially, she is an object of, she becomes instrumental for parents to go through pain and pleasure. And later on, she becomes nimittam for husband to go through pain and pleasure. And we have to say otherwise also. The same parents become, here he doesn't mention it, same parents become instrumental for the daughter to go through pain and pleasure, and same husband becomes nimittam for the woman as a wife to go through pain and pleasures. Like this, Bhagavan only has created the world, and only a small portion of Bhagavan's creation becomes world of objects, world of enjoyment for individual jivas, and there again, what happens? That small world becomes nimittam, instrumental for every individual to go through both pains and pleasures, pairs of opposites. So he gives example in the second line, just as a girl who's as a daughter becomes nimittam for parents to go through pain and pleasure, same girl becomes nimittam, instrumental for later on husband to go through pain and pleasure. So not only the daughter, it's a vice versa. For every individual, your acquaintances, your associates, your friends, your family situations become nimittam for you to go through pain and pleasure. Nimittam. Nimittam is very important. Underline this word. So next class I will explain again. Nimittam. But what do we think? We think they are responsible for our pain and pleasure. Nobody is responsible for your pain and pleasure. And you, why this person has become your daughter for you to go through pleasure? Your punyam. Why this person has become your daughter? She becomes nimittam for you to go through pain, again your papa. So everything is what? Our own karma. That's why earlier we saw jnana karma bhyam. That sentence is, you know, again explained here in this verse. So pitru janya bhartru bhogya yatha yoshit tatha ishyatam. In the same way, he gives one example. He says, this tiny segment of Ishvara's creation, which becomes object of experience for every individual, is nimittam, instrumental for all the pairs of opposites we go through in life. Okay, we'll go to the next verse now. See, in Vedic tradition, in Vedic culture, parentage, parents are very important. Life partner, husband, wife, married life is very important. And later on, the children. For all these three to have good parents, good life partners, to good children, one must have punyam. You know, because they become the life. But everything becomes good when you really had, when you have very lot of punyam to stumble upon a good teacher. Then where you understand everything, when you can really overcome all your problems through jnanam, there's also one is a punyam. Otherwise, we'll end up with some non-traditional thing. They may keep you emotionally, you know, supported, but there's no clarity, never comes. The four important factors. Okay, next. Maya vrityatmako isha sankalpa sadhanam janao. Maya vrityatmako isha sankalpa sadhanam janau manovrityatmako jiva sankalpo bhoga sadhanam. Maya vrityatmakaha isha sankalpaha sadhanam janau manovrityatmakaha jiva sankalpaha bhoga sadhanam. See, sadhanam means the cause. Sadhanam here is the cause. The means. So, isha sankalpaha sadhanam. Sadhanam janau. Janihi means creation. Janihi means creation. Janau means what? in creating this world, Bhagavan's sankalpa is karanam. Bhagavan's sankalpa is in the form of maya. Ishvara's sankalpa, Ishvara's thought, Ishvara's mind, maya should be understood as Ishvara's mind. Bhagavan's mind is maya. So Bhagavan's mind, Bhagavan's sankalpaha, Bhagavan's thought, the universal, you know, Bhagavan's, the cosmic mind of Ishvara. The mind, cosmic mind is maya. So Ishvara's mind, Ishvara's maya, sankalpa, the thought, is the cause for the creation of the universe. And Jiva's sankalpa, Jiva's mind, the Jiva's mind, Jiva's thought, Jiva's sankalpa is cause for the enjoyment of Ishvara's creation. So Jani Sadhanam, Bhoga Sadhanam. Jani Sadhana means Janau Sadhana means in creating. Janau is locative case. In creating this universe, Ishvara has Maya as the Sankalpa, mind. See, Ishvara needs mind, Sankalpa, will, the thought to create the world. And what is that will, thought there? Maya. For Jiva, to enjoy this Ishvara's creation, Jiva also needs a mind. So Jiva's sankalpa, Jiva's mind is nimittam. Jiva's mind is the cause, sadhanam, means of enjoyment of the world. Ishvara's maya is the means of creating this world. What is this sadhanam? Ishvara needs maya to create the world. Jiva needs his own mind to enjoy this world. So Ishvara's mind is for creating the world. Jiva's mind is for enjoying the world. The mind which is meant for enjoying must be used only for enjoying. Okay, but we try to create also. So what is this? Whose sankalpa is what? Jiva's sankalpa is Jiva's mind. Ishvara's sankalpa is Ishvara's mind. Ishvara's mind is maya. Jiva's mind is mind. Okay. With the sankalpa, we enjoy the world. We experience the world. Whereas Ishvara only creates. With our mind, we cannot create. We only enjoy. Ishvara's mind, he creates. He is capable of creating. But with our mind, which is meant for enjoying also, we try to create. That's the problem. We'll see later on. Okay, now this much is enough today. So, maya vrityatmakaha iha sankalpaha sadhanam srishtau janau. Which means, Ishvara's sankalpaha, Ishvara's mind, in terms of maya, is the bijam, is the seed, is the cause for creating the world. Whereas, Jiva sankalpa, Jiva's mind, is a cause for the enjoying the world. So Ishvara Karyam is Jiva Bhogyam. Ishvara's creation is for enjoyment of the Jiva. So who has Punya Papams? E Jiva has Punya Papams. So who experiences pain and pairs of opposites? Jiva experiences pairs of opposites. Therefore, the this world becomes nimittam, instrumental for every jiva to experience, thereby to go through the experience pains and pleasures, pairs of opposites. And this one, I'll explain next class. What do we mean by maya vrittihi? And what is jiva sankalpaha, etc.? I'll explain it more next class. Understand this much. I think gradually we are getting. We are not yet got, gradually we'll understand. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.